Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Being Unapologetically Authentic podcast with your host, Jean Tien. And today we have an amazing guest. Her name is Nicole Scher. Nicole is the creator and founder of The Seven Candles, as well as the author of the Needs Languages, Bringing Balance and Belonging in Dating book. She helps her clients find their belonging, to be seen, to feel in control over their environment, to be respected in their beliefs, and to find balance in expressing and listening to others. And I am so happy that she is able to join us today. So let's get started. Hey, Nicole, are you there?
I am here.
Awesome. Great. So thank you so much for joining us. And I am so grateful for you, for your patience, and also for making time for this podcast and for our community here. So why don't we start by you taking the opportunity to share a little bit about yourself, your background, and then we can take it from there.
Yeah, well, so I did my undergrad in kind of like where I could do anything. I wanted to have a background where I could be kind of mobile, and I did it with conflict resolution, and then I also did it with business. And I realized I really liked the skills behind conflict resolution. And then I did my master's in industrial organizational psychology. And I say you need a degree to say that or spell it. And and what that basically is it's kind of like a business psychology degree. And what I realized with that is that a lot of things are really disconnected. And I started looking at our personality models, and I realized they're really about the self. And just researching that, and thought, you know, we really need to be more connected. And especially with the pandemic, how can we figure out a way where we can be about ourselves, but also about the other person, but be balanced? Because that was the other thing I noticed, is that like when I was studying my master's, we would do leadership classes, and in the leadership classes, they wouldn't do anything. You would study leadership, and I'd be, well, where's the conflict resolution model that's supposed to go with the leadership? And where's this going with that? And I would notice that they go, or even when I would do business school, oh, well, that's conflict resolution. We don't need that. And I go, wait a second, you're what? Oh, that's a whole different department. That's for the social workers. Oh, okay. Really? So you don't need that in business? Oh, no. That's a whole different, we don't. And so I started going, okay, how do we start connecting things? And in society, I think a lot of times we compartmentalize stuff, and we can't do that because people's lives are not compartmentalized. When you go to work, if your kids get sick, you're not compartmentalizing that at work. You're thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to take care of my kids? How am I going to do all this? It is affecting your work. And so because our society tries to do that within the workplace, and that doesn't work for us. So that's what I started saying. How can we put these puzzle pieces together?
Yeah. And that's, you know, and it's so interesting that you brought up this, the conflict resolution and its place of belonging within corporate, because, you know, in the past, I want to say over the past few months, lack of a better time range, but like over the past few months, what I've realized is that people tend to shy away from conflict when it comes to business. And yet conflict is what is so important to have. I mean, you have to have like healthy conflict. I'll call it healthy conflict versus like negative toxic conflict. But healthy conflict is so important to have in order for businesses and for people to move forward, right? To take it to that next level. And, you know, I think the difference between a healthy conflict versus that of a toxic one is really how people handle it. And it's interesting that people that, you know, the segregation and the categorization, as you said, between business and conflict and others come in, because to your point, you can't really separate any of it. Right. And I think it's also funny that people try to separate personal life from work life, because I think realistically these days you can't really separate those either.
No. And if we don't understand each other, we don't understand the patterns of people, we are really going to miss out.
And right. I'm not saying we stereotype. That's not what I'm saying. But people have patterns. We all have patterns. And that's where this came out of. Because if I say, hey, important, and you think of a person, you're like, oh, yeah, I know who important people are. I kind of have a pattern that I think of what an important person would act like or look like or be. That's going to help you get an idea of, oh, what kind of language would they speak? How would they act? That also is would give you that an idea if you are a person who would be labeled or be seen or your personality would act that way or you would communicate that way. How do I not be so important that I'm an obnoxious little twit that I can be balanced so that I can give other people room in the room to have their personality shine? Mm-hmm. So that's where that comes from, because we will tell someone that you're not okay in your personality. That's where that's been the problem is, well, that's what we'll say. You're too much for me, or that's not okay to be that way. You need to be this way. Instead of saying, okay, how can we let you be balanced in that so you're okay in that? Instead, we tell people they're not okay to be that way.
Right.
That's not a good thing, because then you're telling someone that who they are is not okay, and you're shattering that person.
Right. Yeah. And I think that happens often.
And then you're not letting them use their gifts and talents so they'll flourish. And we're having a lot of people talk about they feel like an imposter. That's part of, I think, the imposter syndrome, because people feel they're an imposter because they can't be the fullness of who they are, because they're not being taught how to be balanced in the fullness of who they are.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But before we go on, let's kind of take a step backwards. And, you know, if you don't mind sharing a bit about the needs languages, I understand it's a system that is used to identify and categorize personality types. And it's one of the things that you have learned and integrated into your own book and into your own practices. Could you share with us, the audience, a little bit more about the needs languages and how it applies on a day-to-day basis?
Okay, so the needs languages are four basic words that came from Jung and Hippocrates. It is like a lot of the personality models came from our forefathers. And what I mean by that are the people who researched this and studied this. But we don't use the words that they use, like, hi, I mispronounce this word all the time, plethoric, you know. I mean, they don't come, or a sanguine, or those kinds of things. We don't use those words today. We have to use more modern words. So when you look at the words like important, right, control, and value, you have an idea what they mean. So we are two out of the four, which means we're going to be primary through those lenses. And every day, as I'm an important value, I'm going to do things that are important to me and are going to be of value to me. I'm going to speak along those lines. If I do anything in the other two, it's going to be because it's important to me or it's of a value to me. I will not really ever function in control or right. And we actually have these conversations. I will say I'm not right and I'm not in control. And it's not that I'm out of control and I'm doing, you know, running down the street naked, doing odd, weird things. I'm just not about being in control. An important person's when they're focused on the goal, they're going for it. And you have to talk to them a certain way to make sure that they are, if their goal is so driven, you have to make sure that you're helping them arrange it so that they're not doing something that could, they're not running flip. So I'll give you an example. They may be so focused on winning the prize that they're running the race in flip-flops. And they need to be putting tennis shoes on. So you have to help them sit down and go, okay, I know you're able to win that race, but let's sit down and make sure you're wearing the proper gear to win that race. Or that you're not supposed to go for do the whole race by yourself. Let's sit back and figure out another way that you may need to be in another race, or you may need teammates in this race. And so it's helping them readjust that through the importance lens. So those are things because an important person can be so driven that they are not seeing the other things going on around them.
Yeah, so they have the blinders on. So in the needs languages, is that specific to romantic relationships only or personal relationships, or can that be applied outside of like the personal realm?
It can be applied to the workplace. Oh my gosh. If you have two people who do not have any needs languages in common and they have no commonalities in anything, you do not put those people together. They will, and you do not have some sort of a connector. And what I mean by a connector is someone that can connect them in some way. It will be like you have got two, you'll have either one of them quit, you'll have constant fights, you will not have misery loves company, you will have misery hates each other. And it will be bad. And yeah. So unless they understand this model and know how to communicate with each other, and even then they will still struggle with each other. This is about people getting along.
That is so interesting. And so, you know, when your clients come to you now, how have they benefited both from your coaching, but also, I guess, the application of the needs languages and your other tools, in their coaching with you?
So recently someone was talking to me and they said we were talking about things and they said, oh my gosh, I'm getting ready. I'm going to leave this toxic relationship. I didn't realize so they had always been around people that met them in the importance, and their relationship was someone who had met them in the right. And what was happening is in meeting in the right, they weren't having the people in their life meet them in that language. And so they weren't fully seen, but they weren't feeling comfortable. And because no one else in their life was more like that, because that wasn't where they were wanting to meet people. They were wanting to meet people more in the important. And so after like reading like the booklet, just reading even the booklet, they said, oh my gosh, and talking and these things, they said, this isn't what I want. This is toxic for me. This isn't working. They started to understand their own language, right, wrong, good, bad. And they said, this isn't good for me. Oh my gosh, I know so what kind of person would work for me? Mm-hmm. They started to figure out what person they liked, which was one of their friends they always hung out with. And it was the same sex and they're not into the same sex. And they're like, oh my gosh, this is my type. This has always been my type. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. This is why I like hanging out with this person. Because I haven't been around people who speak the same language as me in this area, I haven't been able to see this. Now that I understand this through this perspective, I can now go over what I want and get rid of this toxic relationship. And understand what type of person I would date.
Yeah, and that's so interesting. So two questions. Number one, where can they find a copy of this booklet that you mentioned that your client was reading?
Mm-hmm. You can find that on Amazon. It's on Nicole Scherr. It's called The Needs Language, Bringing Balance and Belonging in Dating. We have The Needs Language, Bring Balance and Belonging in Parenting. And we have The Needs Language, which just came out for Valentine's Day, Bring Balance and Belonging in Romantic Relationships. And they all have that same kind of theme. We did three different themes because we know not everybody's a parent, not everybody's in a romantic relationship, and we know not everybody's dating.
Amazing.
We made them simple. We could have done a huge book for everybody, but not everybody's in those situations.
Very true.
And, you know, so we wanted to make it so that everybody had an opportunity to pick something up and made it at a reasonable price. So you didn't have to buy a big book. So you can pick it up on Amazon under Nicole Scherr. And the dating booklet is free on Kindle Unlimited. And we've decided to try and keep that free as long as possible so people can have access to that on Kindle Unlimited.
Very cool. And we'll also include the links in the show notes so that for everybody who is interested, they can just click through and be able to access it on Amazon and Kindle too. So then now the second question then is that, you know, when I'm hearing the story that you had just shared, Nicole, what came to mind and what might be coming to mind to our listeners as well is, you know, if you are using the language and only identifying with or only, you know, hanging out with, right, the people that, I guess, you know, does that needs language only bring you to the people who are like-minded? Or so then, you know, is that, or is it more than that? Like, is it something where they're weeding out the people that they wouldn't necessarily get along with? Or is it something that is just that they communicate better together? Like, you know, how is that kind of working in practicality?
So for me, because I'm an important value, I will normally not hang out with control rights because I have nothing verbally in contact with them unless there's like a love language there and there's some sort of connection there or there's some sort of connector there. Like I would have to have a control person there that has a connector with me, like a control important or control value or a right person that is a right value or right important.
Okay.
I will not normally hang out with there has to be something there that connects me, which because control right people in an important value, we usually will repel each other. I am working with someone right now who is a control right and we are struggling a little bit. And I have to be very careful with the language and I have to learn how to speak their language. And if I say something that makes them feel like I have told them they're wrong, even though I'm not telling them they're wrong, it's very off-putting. And then I have to backpedal and I cannot tell them I'm sorry. It just becomes a very big challenge because it's again, the language. And it's not that I'm telling them that they're wrong. It's that it becomes a challenge because we don't speak the same language.
Right.
We speak differently.
And do you think that there's an element of like a self-fulfilling prophecy in that too? Because if you, you know, if you identify as, or if you identify as this, or you identify somebody as that, whatever it is, you know, you identify as an apple and then you identify the other person as an orange, then you would expect the other person to look like an orange, right? Whether it's like round or orange colored or whatever it is, right? And then, you know, apples and oranges are two different things. So is there an element, is there an element of almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy when applying these techniques?
No, I don't think so, because I actually talked a little bit about that where I had a connector with a control right and we almost dated and we had a connection in love languages, but there was always this but when I was with them. And I was like, I knew I loved them and I knew they loved me. And it was like our love language is really connected, but there was something there. I couldn't go past that point. I mean, I really loved them and I knew they really loved me, but I couldn't. And it was because our needs language didn't connect.
Very interesting. So
I know with right and controls, I cannot have that conversation. And I didn't have the model at the time. I was putting it together, but I hadn't fully. So I, and my mother is a right in control and it's a real challenge sometimes, but I love my mother and I've been around them. It's just that I know the language. We just don't connect. So it's about a connector and more than anything. And but for the most part, I like right control people. It's not that I don't like them. It's more about in the grand scheme of things, I could never be with one romantically. In general, they are not my favorite people. I'll do my best to get along with them, but we don't really connect, and it has to do with the language. It really, really does. However, I can also clash with other people if we don't align in our needs languages, if our importance don't align or our values don't align. So it also becomes that. And that's why it's important to understand how that personality works, because then I know how, where your importance is, what's important to you, what's important to me. If that is the same, we work together. And if it's opposite, then we can learn how to maneuver that and work with each other.
Interesting. And then in applying the needs languages to yourself, how have you found that it has helped you with regards to being really more authentic, right? Being really able to accept who you are and to really rediscover yourself.
Oh my gosh. It has brought so much healing to my life. It has been amazing. It has made me, it's more so helped me understand. I've always liked myself. I know that sounds, but I've always been that one that I really like me, but I've had a lot of people not understand me and not be able, because I've had a lot more control rights in my life that have not really quite known how to navigate me. And so it's been more challenging to understand why are you struggling with me? And so it's been more freeing in a lot of aspects and been more healing to understand why are people struggling? How do I connect? How do I become more aware of myself and what the room needs? How to create more balance within myself, which has been so amazing to do. And that's what I think I like the most about it is it's created this awareness. And so it's also created the belonging, the ability to create the belonging I want. So if I walk into a room and I'm not liking what's there, I don't have to feel guilt. I don't have to feel shame that I don't like it. I can even create the friends I want. If I want, I actually created I didn't create my partner, but I designed the partner I wanted. And it's putting the power back in your hands in a way where you can do things through, I mean, we always have had the ability to do things through either love or fear or a destruction type of thing, but it puts that awareness in where we become more aware and then we can do it through that. I think most people want to do things through love and kindness and gratitude. And it gives us that ability to have that awareness to be able to do that.
That's amazing. So then do you think it's important or is it important for people before they start to work with you to actually read the needs languages so that they better understand like how you work with them? Or is this something that's not necessarily a prerequisite that it's, you know, you would bring them through the process?
You can do either or. If you would rather feel comfortable, it's more so up to the individual. I am about discovery. And whatever the individual feels most comfortable with. If someone says, I would feel more comfortable with reading the booklets and then going and talking with you because I would feel like I would be more in control, then go for it. If you would say, nope, I really want to meet with you first and then I want to read the booklets and then schedule something, then that. If you say, no, I want to schedule, we'll go through the booklets together, then do it that way. Right now I'm actually I will be releasing within this month, probably either the end of this month or the beginning of next month, group sessions where I'm putting together groups with booklets and trainings for us to go together as groups with dating, the parenting, and probably romantic relationships where we can, have it be groups where we can learn together with each other because it's better when we do it in community.
Yes, there's so much more power and I don't know if it's more, but there is so much power when there's a group energetics involved instead of just the individuals. And you get to learn from everybody else too, which is why I love group settings as well. So Nicole, how can they get in touch with you if they'd be interested in learning more about these upcoming sessions or upcoming group programs, or just in general, if they have a question?
Well, I have a couple of social medias. I mean, like everybody has social media. I mean, that's just, it's kind of nice. And at the same time, it's kind of like, oh my gosh, here's another social media. I prefer doing things on Facebook and YouTube and then a website. I have the Seven Candles YouTube channel, the Seven Candles Facebook. I have Nicole Scherr as a Facebook page. And I also have the Seven Candles as a website. And it is the Seven Candles. I call it the Seven Candles because it's about, when you think about a candle, you think about a candle leaving a room illuminated with light. And we all want to bring an illumination to the room because we all want to shine with that goodness and keep that our candle lit. And to me, that's what it's about. It's about shining the beauty of who we are.
That's awesome. And then, so any last words for our community or our listeners before we end the show today?
I think there's two things that I, these are kind of my themes. I have a whole bunch of Nicole-isms. One is that it's, there's two things. It's one, it's about you encountering unconditional or divine love the way you're designed to, so you can fulfill your purpose. Because we are all a piece of the puzzle, and when we are our individual piece, we're that beautiful, unique piece, we fit into that beautiful puzzle piece that creates this world. And if you really do look at that puzzle piece, it is unique and different. Not everyone's a corner piece or a middle piece or a or whatever piece that is. And but when it fits in, it's beautiful. And don't let anyone tell you what piece you are. You are the piece you are, and you are meant to discover that. And that journey is, can be challenging, but it's also amazing. And that's what it's about. You as an individual are amazing, and you in community is wonderful as well. So that's what the needs language can bring you. And that's really, that's what it's about.
I love that. That is so beautiful. Thank you again for joining us today, Nicole. So thank you, everybody, for joining us, for listening. And if you are looking to learn more about the needs language and or Nicole's upcoming group programs, please feel free to reach out to her through the links in this in the meeting notes, in the show notes. Sorry, brain is still in work mode. And for those of you who have enjoyed this episode, who know of somebody who would benefit from it, please like, share, subscribe, follow, rate, do anything you can to bring awareness to what we are talking about today so that we can bring more joy and peace and happiness to the rest of the world. Until next time, bye.